these were the types of little stories I was looking for to convince me that life was worth living on the planet. If someone says something that I don't really like, then I go, I ran into a most amazing older man, truly amazing, kind of like all dressed in black, and I ran after him. And I ran up to him on this rocky, dusty, downtrodden land, and I said, "What can you tell me about life?" And he said,
"Welcome to An Excuse to Talk to You, the podcast that gives me, Tori Namason, an excuse to talk to you. Follow this podcast as I track down interesting people and get them to tell you their stories. This first episode features Fanny Renoir. Fanny is an artist who has been a staple of the San Francisco North Beach art scene for over 30 years. Fanny also organizes shows at local venues such as the Live Worms Gallery, which she mentions in this interview. I recommend you take a listen to episode 6 of the Passport podcast to hear more of Fanny's story. The host of the show, Keith Brightback, talks to Fanny about her childhood as a country bumpkin chasing rainbows among the redwoods and how she hitchhiked the American hippie trail in search of enlightenment. I'll put a link in the show notes. For this interview, I sat down with Fanny in her studio apartment, which she calls the Fanny Gallery. It sits above the iconic Cafe Trieste in North Beach.
This is my gallery. I call it the Fanny Gallery. You know, I'm hoping to eventually be able to get more people up here to buy art, to look at art, to share their art. And people like enjoy coming in here and seeing all of this in here in my little baby gallery. And like, I'm not very good at selling my art, but I want to sell it. And I really care about the other artists. I would almost rather sell a piece of their art than one of my pieces. So I take my small amount of capital and I'll sneak around at the art shows. And if someone has not sold a piece of art, and then maybe I'll buy that art, but they don't know that I'm the one that bought it. So that makes me feel good. Because I don't think it's right for someone to leave without having sold a piece of art. Then they can relax. They got a little boost. Yeah.
Lawrence Ferlinghetti is a famous poet and activist best known for founding City Lights Bookstore, the bookstore in North Beach at the heart of the San Francisco Beat Movement. I always heard from people in the neighborhood that he called Fanny the only real artist in North Beach. When I heard this, I was actually an artist living in North Beach, so I try not to take it too personally. Here's what Fanny had to say about this.
Well, I began to hear this line that Ferlinghetti like composed from numerous people over the last couple years. So I think Ferlinghetti is proud of me because I took the road less traveled, and I don't work for somebody. I work for myself. I don't agree that I'm the best artist in North Beach, but I do agree that I'm committed, have been really committed to the what I call interdisciplinary art for many moons, and I believe in it. And Ferlinghetti likes it that I employ the group of artists. I'm pretty egalitarian, and honestly, I don't know where he got that idea. But I always know that Ferlinghetti's been really nice to me over the years. I have a good intuition, but it's a little bit slow. For years, I admired Doral Conrad. He's a true embodiment of Elvis. It struck me that I could book him for one of the shows. And on the first night that he sang at the Live Worms Gallery with about 70 people there or so, I just went bonkers, like I was 14 again. I thought that he really was Elvis. And then all the oldsters, they began to dance and leap around and everything. And then the next day they were crippled. That was subsequent to all of this. I began to have lessons with Elvis in here in my little baby gallery. And he was a really good teacher, a really patient, loving person. But then I was always a beat behind. And then he said, if this keeps up, I'll be singing like you. We ran into a band leader when we left the Cafe Trieste, and his version of the Age of Aquarius.
Okay, you want to sing that for us?
Well, if you'll sing with me.
Oh, okay. I'll try. Because I can cut myself out. So.
Yeah.
No, I'm just kidding.
Okay, this song thrills me to death because I really believed in the emotion behind the song. So, this is the dawning of the Age of Aquarius.
Age of Aquarius.
I live kind of metaphorically or allegorically, and it's like a play. Some idea will seize me, some magical phrase or word, and then I'll write about it, and then I'll sing about it, and then that will go on for a period of time till it evolves into another metaphor or word. It's usually a word that leads me off. I love words. Okay. Like the word weasel is a really fun thing to say. I have poems about the weasel, and I like to parody myself and see if I can get people around me to like enjoy that and then ask, why do you think you're a weasel? We're here with all these animals. And then you begin to notice behavior patterns in people. Like my friend Buddha Scary, he loves to collect things, and he would take everything out of my room if he could get away with it. But he runs off with everything in my sale, so I came to call him a hornswoggler and a swindler. And I enjoy that, and then he enjoys that, and then we play with that. But he's also very kind and very loving, and he always buys something from me, no matter if it's the world's lowest price. And he pretends like he brings out his money. He'll have 4 greenbacks in his hand, and he'll claim to not have any other money. But then here comes somebody coming down the street with a giant owl clock. Suddenly he produces a $50 bill. But did I see it? And that's a weasel. That's weaseling. But now I'm on to his game. But the weasel thing started with Ronald Sauer, who is a Renaissance poet, guitar player, helper to his friends, raconteur. And so he became the president of the Weasel Whacker Club. And another thing, people and their animals, these pets mean so much to them. They are so in love with them. They cater to them. They talk about them every morning. You can't go into the Cafe Trieste without hearing about what Ginger is up to. Ginger did this. Ginger did that. And then one new friend and her daughter, they have a rabbit. The rabbit got up on bed with me this morning, and it was doing this, and then they imitate what the rabbit did. I mean, they're so connected to their dogs, to caring for their dogs, to not causing their animals suffering. And these people really are maybe more compassionate in a way than the petless people. You can take their love for these animals and then look at their other behavior and see, like, they have a lot of loving qualities. And they'd rather have a parrot than a husband. But I also, like, I draw little animals. Like, naive art. People, like, people to me are animals. they're spiritual animals or they're a little bit spiritual. Well, like this friend of mine in the neighborhood, he would come up behind me and bark like a dog. So I thought that was funny. So then I developed a sound, and here it is. So I went up to the friend that barked like a dog and tried out my sound. He didn't even laugh. He didn't smile. Nothing. Because my sound was basically better than his sound. And if someone says something that I don't really like, then I go... You know, I always wanted to travel, but there was never quite the opportunity. So I set about hitchhiking across the country 3 times, back and forth. I had no money, so that was the only way I could do it. And that was truly harrowing. It was one escape after the other, but there were just amazing people along the way. I was in Louisiana, or else it wasn't. Like the state of Louisiana, but and I'm walking out there on a road or in a town, and I had all hippie clothes on, earrings and the whole deal, and then these beautiful African-American family, and they invited me into their home for lunch. Really wonderful. And we had codfish. But then on the last trip, I made it to Reno. And there was a truck driver there that was going all the way to Amherst, Massachusetts. And he offered me a ride. He didn't hit on me. He didn't scare me. He didn't do anything except look out for me the whole time I was in his big old truck. But he was truly wonderful. And he bought food for me along the way. We were like in... It could have been Pennsylvania, but I'm not sure because it was a long time ago. We're out in the middle of nowhere. I mean nowhere. It's pitch black. The stars are shining brightly. And, you know, he could have done me in right there and just threw me over a fence, but he didn't. He drove into Amherst and left me off at the town square. And I never saw him again. I was in Nogales. Nogales is a border town off of Arizona. And I ran into a most amazing older man. Truly amazing, kind of like all dressed in black. And I ran after him. And I ran up to him on this rocky, dusty, downtrodden land. And I said, "What can you tell me about life?" And he said, "Life is a miracle." These were the types of little stories I was looking for to convince me that life was worth living on the planet. In the late 60s, when these songs were all popping up, these songs influenced me so much. The whole world, composed of people like John Lennon, George Harrison, and Neil Young and Bob Dylan and Mia Farrow and all these people, everything was on the move because people wanted things to be different in the world. All of those people have had a great influence that I went in search of. Some call it enlightenment, but really I needed to change very badly. Like the Hare Krishna people that were in San Francisco, I would just follow them. I would make inquiries of people, like what was Vedanta, and who was Krishna, and who was Arjuna, and I'm very religious, but I believe in like studying all the religions and then putting them together, like Buddhism, Hinduism, the Sikhs, what's going on in India, and just keep studying. So you can get a picture of culture. I liked a lot of the things about Catholicism, but a lot of things I didn't like. I believe in heaven, but I believe that a lot of the fire and brimstone of hell is really on this planet. And there were some religious theories that said the planet is being fought for by the forces of good and evil. I believe all the mullahs of the world and the rabbis and the priests and all of them need to get together consistently in ecumenical councils where they try to learn from one another and stop with the wrong thinking. Wrong thinking is that your point of view is the only point of view. Your point of view is you will kill, maim, and torture to get what you want. You will steal land, you will steal homes, steal property. So basically, I don't believe in violence. I don't think it's right for anyone to send a teenager out to commit a suicide bombing. For example, no one should inflict suffering on any other person, whether it's in a personal relationship or whether it's an economic situation. There should be a halt to all bombing. That should be just out. But the human isn't built that way. They just have to go on doing dreadful things. But the wave of the future is being able to communicate what the world needs in a lot of different languages to different people. To Arabic people, to Palestinian people, to Hindu people, to Russian people, because the whole world is waiting. They're waiting for something to really happen, like that song by Les Paul and Mary Ford, which starts out like this. Dear ones, the world is waiting for the sunrise. And my mother and father played that song incessantly in the 50s. Try to listen to that someday. It's so beautiful.
Dear one, the world is waiting for the sun.
Hey, Tori, you were really good at tracking me down and stalking me to get this interview, and I'm really proud of you, and I want you to put this on the podcast. Tori, the interviewer, this is a wonderful person, and he's always been wonderful. He's always been kind, and no matter what state he was in, he was kind and willing to help out with whatever the being needed. And I really admire that.
Thank you for listening to An Excuse to Talk to You. This episode is brought to you by me, Tori, the guy who recorded, edited, produced, published, and even wrote and performed the theme song for the show. Believe it or not, this podcast costs money. And the more people that listen, the more money it costs me. You can help offset this by going to anexcusetotalktoyou.com/help. That's anexcusetotalktoyou.com/help. There are offer codes for useful stuff, or you can donate to me directly with cash or Bitcoin, or again, that's anexcusetotalktoyou.com/help. I don't expect it to cover all my costs, but if you enjoy this and you believe in free, independent media, please consider giving back by going to anexcusetotalktoyou.com/help. And thank you from the bottom of my heart. I've got it.